And without any further ado, I would like to invite you to participate in a motivational message by Coach Ray McMullen, wherever he is. I don't know if he heard me or not. I introduced you as Coach Ray.
All right, the coach is here. Appreciate you guys all signing up. I got you on my roster here. We're going to have positions in a minute. Don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. You're in a safe place. I'm not going to stretch you beyond where you can be stretched, but I am going to stretch you beyond where you think you can be stretched. So I'm all excited about you guys signing up. Last year I had the toughest time. That crew, thank goodness they all graduated, okay? We got them through. They found out their positions. Boom, they graduated. It's all good. But now, we're a team with a lot of challenges. A lot of challenges. And this is my biggest challenge. And that's why we had to start so early this year. My biggest challenge is your opinion of yourself. Guys, I got a big issue here with this. You're forgiven. Okay? You're forgiven. You're forgiven. You got to quit. You got to quit associating yourself with your past. Amen. This is not just an excuse to wear shorts in church, people. This works with the scriptures. We're going to get into the Bible, okay? Did you guys bring your playbook?
Yeah.
Who's got their playbook? Never come without your playbook. We might want to make some adjustments. Actually, it's sin. Yeah, pass out the notes. Yeah, we're not going to make any additions. Don't be nervous. But you're going to need your playbook. Part of the plan here. You guys are getting some notes. This is so fun. I just realized the Holy Spirit wants you guys to have a little more fun than you're having. And Jesus described him as a coach. He said, the helper, your coach, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Pretty nice, huh? To have a coach like that? To have a coach that knows what's going on, that understands where you fit. Where do you fit on the team? Where do you fit in the body? I'm going slow here, kind of letting you guys get your notes. And where you fit in the body? And like a good coach, helping you understand who you are. Guys, you win. You win. You win. You win. You win. We've been reading this book, Unshockable Love. And the reality of unshockable love is the first thing we need to do is develop your opinion of yourself. And I know it's easier said than done, because it took me a long time to get comfortable with me, because I didn't realize it was important. The differences about me, the uniqueness of who you are, it's really important. It's really, really important. It's really important because no one else can play your role. No one else can fill your position. And we need you. The whole team is relying on you. The whole team. And the Holy Spirit, the coach, has been spending some personal time with you. And it was funny, even preparing the message, I thought, well, Lord, this message is not too long. He said, don't worry. Don't worry, because I've been coaching them beforehand, and they're going to be ready. And it's the beauty of having the Holy Spirit as a coach, as a helper, because he develops us and transforms us. And I'm at a different stage and season than some of you, and I'm at the same stage and season as some of you also. And so it's interesting how as the seasons change and the Holy Spirit has more time to develop you, your focuses and your concerns change. But all of it is for good. All of it is working in you this confidence, this understanding of who you are in Christ, and this relationship with the Holy Spirit to make you understand who you are in Christ Jesus. the wonder of being seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The wonder of what it's like to be you seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Guys, you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What's weighing you down? What's robbing your smile? What's keeping you from talking to people about the good news of the gospel? You don't understand where you're seated. And the partnership that the Holy Spirit, the coach, wants to have with you. Because as He's coaching not just you in this room, but He's coaching everyone around the world. And when you think about what it was like, just as you were being wooed into the kingdom, do you remember what it was like, how it was this kind of a wrestling match? Anybody? Just me. Okay, well, you know what? It's all right. You know, some of you guys fell right into the kingdom. Piece of cake. I was a struggle, guys. I wasn't sure I was all into that, you know, because there were things about the rules and regulations that I was pretty much convinced I would never be able to pull off. And it's starting to ring, right? Okay, yeah. So, yeah, like you, now I got some partners. Whew. Took a while, but yeah, you got there. We're all on board now. So, yeah, so we're in this wrestling match. And we don't know we're fighting. We don't know we're fighting with the Holy Spirit. We don't know we're fighting the coach. We think it's that, you know, the one. Who was it that loved you? Enough for you to hate them. Enough for you to think, gosh, I can't stand to be around them. All they want to talk about is Jesus. Man, how annoying. It was my parents. Gosh, I hated to go home. But they kept praying. They just kept praying. And as we keep praying, as we keep partnering with the Holy Spirit and praying for people, that we're going to see more. And that's another step in the preparation. We're still in the practice session. We're still in the training here before the season starts. So let's turn in our Bibles. Let's turn in the playbook to Ephesians 2. Check out Ephesians 2. This is the first play we want to go over. As we're working to be transformed in the way we think about ourselves as a winning team. And we're going to start Ephesians 2, 1 through 8. And you He made alive who are dead in trespasses and sins. Woo! You guys have all been raised from the dead. Huh? Is that some good news?
Yeah.
Okay, that's important to remember too. Because when we're out in the world, they need to recognize that we're not dead.
Amen.
No, seriously, because, you know, there's a lot of nasty goes on out in the world. And there's a lot of stuff that gets pushing you around. You know, they're laying off where I work. And people are upset. You know, they want to blame the leaders and the managers and the economy and the president. And you know, and I'm thinking, I was dead and I'm alive. I was dead and I'm alive, and I have this coach, the Holy Spirit, that's giving me a confidence that all these circumstances, all these pressures, and all the ways that I've been getting pushed around, they're doing something in me to produce something of faith. Now get this. I don't know if you've been through the playbook much. Somebody didn't bring it. Grace to you guys. Listen, please don't be offended. I love y'all, and whether or not you brought your Bible is not a concern of mine at all, because I'm going to read out of it. You're going to get it, okay? You're safe. Don't be offended, but enjoy yourselves today. This is the good news about the playbook, that the playbook says that you had to have the Holy Spirit give you faith to be saved. Isn't that slick? Isn't that amazing? That you needed something more than an understanding about what it was to be saved. You needed more than what the Bible says about it. You needed more than the Romans Road. You guys know about the Romans Road? Not everybody. There's a scriptural road in Romans, like these verses in Romans that lead you step by step to an understanding of what it is to be saved. And I can go over that with you later, but it takes more than that. It takes this wonderful gift called faith. And then you're like, oh, that's the truth. Man, that is true. That Romans Road, dude, that thing's true. I can be saved. I can be forgiven. I can live for the Lord. I can be transformed from the inside out. And I don't have to get good first. I can be mean, gnarly me and get on that road and be given this gift of faith to be saved. Oof. That was a sidetrack. Well, let's get back here to Ephesians. You guys have got your playbooks out, and I stopped after the very first part. We got more to do. That I was dead. Jesus showed up. The Holy Spirit, the coach, gave me some faith. I got born again. I'm alive. Yeah. It's really good news. Now, in which you once walked, okay, in the sins in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. You guys remember? Some of us are still here. Wait a minute. I knew I'd be picking on you. Please, please be kind. Just let that go. It's probably not you. Among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Just as the others? Just as the others. Just as the others. Just as the others. You guys have to understand that we're just like the others. Just as the others. And let's listen to this. This is all about me. In which, let's start at the beginning. And you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who works in the sons of disobedience. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Woo! Man, that is so good. That's such good news. That is so awesome, because that nasty guy I was, that was so scared to even get close to the Lord or even act like I was interested, because I had to fulfill that nastiness that was me. That was just me. And I was just like everybody else, but I was convinced that I was worse than everybody else. Wow. Does that work for everybody here? Because there was a warfare going on to keep you out of the kingdom that said you're worse than everybody else. And the blood just came right up to the edge of you, and your sin was the part that it didn't cover. What a big lie. You are just like everybody else. And now here's the really, really exciting part. This is the part I'm real excited about, because everybody you know, everybody in here knows a group of people that I don't know. And I'm excited for all the people you know that I don't know, because they're just like you. Amen. And they're just like me. And there's people you know that you can't stand. Just like me. And they probably don't like you either. Let me tell you, the playbook's real, and we just need to be real with the playbook. Not everybody out there is okay with themselves. And so there's no way they're ever going to be okay with you. And the way that they behave around you because they're not okay with you will tick you off. I'm just trying to help you out. A little coaching here. Just a little coaching. This is just how it works out there. And I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know, except when we get down to the plays. Because the Lord is calling you to love that person. Woohoo! Yeah, coach, I'm in! Put me in, coach! Put me in! Put me in! Yeah, I love that crazy person. I love him. Yeah, I'll lay my life down just like you did. Ooh. Oh, I got a muscle cramp. You might want to put someone else in. Little cramp, I'll be ready in a bit. I'll be ready. Just, oh, not this play. Not this, next play. I'm good. I'm good next play, coach. I'm going to go back to the dugout. Get some Gatorade, maybe a massage. But then I'll be ready. Isn't it good to have a coach? Because we're being prepared for this, guys. We're being prepared, and part of the preparation is understanding who you are. that you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that's the first thing the coach does. You know, you think he's just mean because he's making you do laps and laps and laps and laps and hit the sled. Not everybody can relate. You want to hear the funny part? I never played football in high school. I wasn't on the high school team. I played a little bit in the peewee thing. And so this is all what I understand from, you know, I'm a little bit older, so I do know a few things. So, but anyway, let's not let it ruin the analogy, okay? So these people are just like us. They're just like us. And it's so interesting, the human condition is that it's easier for me to relate to people that struggle with the same sins I did. It's those people, I just don't get it, how they fell into that sin. Come on, it's the real deal. And the Lord, the coach, wants us to be able to love everybody because they're just like us. They're just like us. Maybe their sin isn't like your sin. And where they came from, you've never been. But they're you. They're just like us. They're just like us. The pain in their life may be at a degree where it took more to navigate it. And so they've you know, struggled a little more than you have. But the path to freedom is the same path. And the same coach that's coaching you is coaching them. And if you just say, okay, Lord, put me in. I'm going to start praying and believing for a miracle. I'm going to start praying and I'm going to start winning this war in the heavenlies. And then I'm going to see what kind of love we can have between the two of us that will bring about a salvation and bring about a change in what's going on around here. Because there's a faith going on and we're believing for great things as we go into this new resource center where the Holy Spirit's going to begin to do things and we're going to be challenged to love people that we've never even seen before. And so I felt like as we're reading this book, Unshockable Love, we need to really invite the Holy Spirit, our coach, to do some work inside of us so that we can become the people we need to be used in this generation, in this time. And so we have to show up early and let the coach transform how we think about ourselves. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Who do you, how would you define yourself? How would you define yourself? I am crazy. I'm crazy in love with Jesus, and I'm happy to be ridiculous all the time. I love to have fun. I absolutely love to have fun. And you know what? That could be offensive. I make up excuses to wear shorts in church. That can be offensive. A hat in church, that can be offensive. People, there's things about you that when you become you, won't make everybody happy. But it's so important for you to be you. Because there's people that only crazy is going to talk to. There's people that they won't even notice someone that's not different. And so it's important. I'm calling you to rely on the Holy Spirit to put down those things that you're battling with and say, I just have decided I'm going to trust Jesus. I'm going to trust the coaching that I'm getting on the inside through the Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to be me. I'm going to say what I think. That was risky. That was risky. Okay, guys. I mean, I trust you, all right? And I trust the Holy Spirit in you. And so I'm telling you, say what you think. Risk being corrected. Yeah. It's not the end of the world. The old guys make mistakes. Maybe right now. No. But if you're just willing to take the risk to be you, you'll find yourself filled with joy, filled with fulfillment, and filled with opportunity to let the love of Jesus Christ touch somebody. The next step, I promise this would be short, and I have no way to define short. So anyway, it's going to seem short. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians So once we realize who we are, we want to be able to spread mercy. Because we just learned from... I didn't even get all the way through Ephesians, did I? Let's close up Ephesians here. I was going all the way to 8. I got to 3. Hang on. But God, who's rich in mercy... Woo! Here we go. Because of His great love with which He loved us... Yeah! Give it up! Come on! You don't have to be crazy, but this morning, yeah, we're going to let it out. Even as we were dead in trespasses, even then, just like them, just like us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Woo! Come on! And raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Have you been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Yeah. Yeah. Who was it? Who was it? It was all of you. Come on. You've been seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He made you sit with me, together with you, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Whew, and He loves us all. You don't even have to be like this. Huh? Come on. This is some good news, right? Yeah. We're not the same. We're not all cookie cutters. You don't have to be this wild. And it's important for you not to be. See, because you got to be you to reach who we're going to reach. And for us to fit together. Whew, here we go. I'm going to get through this. This is going to happen. Oh, we're seated together in heavenly places. Wait, maybe I should pause a moment. That is so good. Oh, raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Didn't I tell you that? Uh-huh, now it's right there in the playbook, people. Woo! You got a good coach. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. Come on. You can give it up for Him. By grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It was a gift of God. It wasn't of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which He prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Woo! Hallelujah! You guys got some good works to be getting after, right? I'm just giving everybody time. Yeah, go ahead. I'm getting them. They're just coming kind of gradual, but they're coming. I'm going to wait on them. Yeah, I got something to do. Believe it. Believe it. And I'm fully equipped because the coach has helped me out. He's arranging some things. I'm getting some training. I've read the playbook. Spent a little time in the playbook, and suddenly opportunity shows up. Praise God. So now he's working this to transform how we think about ourselves and how we think about others. So the good coach, he starts beforehand. The season hasn't even started yet, people. We're getting a transformation of how we think about ourselves and how we think about the others. It kind of breaks down in that we don't have a team we're going against, except that we're going after somebody. We're going after somebody. People, we're going after somebody because there's good works that have been prepared beforehand for you. I wonder who it's going to be. Oh, my goodness. I would love to know all the people that just make you crazy. I wonder how this is going to be changing in the future. It's just so exciting to me. I've seen it before. There's so many things that we struggle with as believers. And it's so hard sometimes to find the mercy that we received so that we can start giving it away. But it's going to show up, and there's going to be opportunity for you, and it's going to be in ways that you hadn't anticipated. I want to tell you that there was a time when a young man was partnering with me in prayer because he was struggling with something that I'd never struggled with. And he hated it. But he was trapped, and he needed somebody he could be honest with. He was a pastor's son. How do I talk about my struggles? You know, we need to make ourselves available to people in a way that our coach is challenging us to do. Okay, I'm not calling you beyond. I'm just saying let's spend some time with the coach and see what he does and see where he challenges us. It's interesting in I'm not going to go over this part. In 1 Corinthians, you can write this in your note. 1 Corinthians 8, it talks about, Paul's talking about things sacrificed to idols and how, you know, he's like, listen, guys, idols are nothing. We know it. There's one true God. That's the truth. So, eat. It's food. It was sacrificed to an idol. Who cares? An idol's nothing. What's an idol? An idol is some demon someone's begin to worship or some, you know, it's nothing. Jesus Christ defeated it all. Now, here's the thing. Be careful. I love this scripture. He's so concerned. He said, don't let your liberty offend somebody that's just starting in their walk. Be careful. Now, think about this. The funny part to me is most of you aren't at risk at all. Okay? You're not at risk because you haven't been living like you. You haven't been living in the freedom that you have. I told you I'd pick on you. Did I not warn you? You're not living in the freedom you have, people. You're not living in the freedom that you have. Your coach hasn't convinced you who you are. And so you're scared to be you, and you're a little intimidated about all the freedom you got. We're just going by the playbook here.
Yeah.
I'm more concerned. Times have changed. I'm really pretty concerned that you'll never get to the place of freedom where you need to worry about someone else being offended by your freedom.
Yeah, that's true.
Uh-oh. I'm more concerned with you being offended by someone else's freedom. As the church people, we've got to overcome something. Because people assume if you say, I go to church every Sunday, I'm a Christian, that you're judging them. They just assume that you've got an attitude about things. Because I'm a Christian, I hate homosexuals. So, I need to exercise who I am so that people see that there's a love out there they've never experienced before. And that I would, and have, loved people that have broken beyond a place I've been broken. And that's the only thing that's going to bring them to the place where they're going to trust you to talk to them about stuff. First, you have to just be okay being around them. So, the coach says, it's real important for you to be okay with you. I'm really counting on you because I want to put you in. I want to put you in. I've been watching. You've been spending time in the playbook. I see how you hit the sled. Woo! I'm excited about putting you in. Yeah, man, we're going to hear some noise. We're going to see some stuff happen. We're going to move down the field. Oh, not everybody knows what the sled is. Okay, the sled is what the linemen practice on. It's this big hunk of steel, and they, boom, they hit it, and it moves. And if they're not hitting it, it's going to take a truck to move it. Okay, so this thing is heavy. It's got a pad on it, and they practice because it's heavier than anybody they're going to see on the line. So they get confidence by running into this sled and moving it. And the coaches don't let them stop. Once you get it moving, it isn't the time to stop. You keep hitting, you keep moving and keep moving and keep moving until you hear the whistle. Until you hear the whistle, there ain't no stopping. You guys have what it takes to move the sled. And I want to put you in. The coach wants to put you in. It's real important for you to understand that you have what it takes. And to understand there's mercy out there for it. Part of the body. You're part of a team. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12. 12:12. For as the body is one, has many members, but all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. In fact, the body is not one member, but many. Okay. Part of the coaching is we're all on the same team. Okay? We're all on the same team. It's safe. It's safe. You can be gracious to every other denomination that comes to mind. Okay, it's one body. We're going after it together. One body, right? One body. We're all in the same game. We're in the same game. We're going to introduce everybody to the love of Jesus Christ. Everybody. We're all this. Who remembers Ephesians? Remember the playbook we started on? Mat play. Yeah, we're all, they like us. They just like us. They like us because we like them. And we all want the same thing. We want to hear that, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. And the way that happens is by throwing out mercy. Throwing out mercy. Get it spread around. Get it flowing everywhere. That same mercy that drew you in, mercy, to feel sympathy with the misery of another. To feel sympathy for the misery of another. Doesn't that sound interesting? There's so much misery out there, and people don't even know. You know, they're fighting to be accepted because they want to live in their misery. That's enough to break your heart. That's enough to break your heart. No matter how much I love and accept you, unless you accept this free gift that I've accepted, you're going to live like I lived. And there's no good end to that life. My life, I was dead. It's real clear in the playbook about me. That was me in the playbook. Like you in the playbook. Like them in the playbook. Feel sympathy for the misery of another. To relate to others in empathy, respect, and honesty. To relate to others with empathy, respect, and honesty. Mercy. To be effective, this gift is to be exercised with kindness and cheerfulness, not a matter of duty.
Wow.
Mercy. Mercy. To feel sympathy with the misery of another. Mercy. To relate to others in empathy and respect and honesty. Mercy. To be effective, this gift is to be exercised with kindness, cheerfulness, and not a matter of duty. Does anybody else feel challenged? Anybody else happy to have a coach? Woo! The same Holy Spirit that's stirring you, challenging you, pulling you into a new place of freedom for yourself is stirring this excitement about what could happen next. What could happen next if I just do what I think I should do right now? What if I went and did it? It's so interesting growing up in the faith how we learn how to trust the Holy Spirit. We get this, I think I should say, and we go, and then the moment passes and we're like, that was for real. That was it. And then we get discouraged. Don't be discouraged. That's the coach training you. You heard the whistle. The play was over. It happens. Everybody, all the old people in the room say, oh yeah, this is how we grew up in Christ. The coach would blow the whistle. We're like, the play's over. I didn't hear what. I didn't know the ball was hiked. What happened? And then you start to grow in this partnership with the Holy Spirit, the coach. And you start to grow in confidence because the same Holy Spirit that's quickening you to say something or do something or express some love or kindness is working in them. It's so safe, people. It's safe. He's already working in them. When my parents were being so kind and loving and just making me miserable, it's because the Holy Spirit was working in me. Just like working in you when you were doing that wrestling match. There was places the Holy Spirit was getting after you that no one could say, touch, do anything about. It was something private and personal between you and the Holy Spirit. And when that wrestling match was over, you accepted Christ. Somebody was praying for you. Somebody was praying for you. So now we've had some coaching. We're dealing with us and getting this new mercy. We're longing for some mercy. And so we're getting ready for the first play. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians. We're in Corinthians. So let's go to number 2. You guys enjoying your playbook today?
Yeah.
Where was I? 2 Corinthians 10. I'm at 5, 6. Is anybody ahead of me? Everybody? See, aren't we all different and unique? 2 Corinthians 10, "Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the mercies and gentleness of Christ who..." Paul's talking about this letter, this little... He was getting picked on, okay? He goes to the church and then he sends letters because he's traveling and ministering, and then people pick on him. And he's like, okay, yeah, this is what you say, blah, blah, blah. Okay, and then in 3... "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." Now's where the partnership starts, okay? We're going to start doing some warring. We're not going to war in the flesh. We're not going to treat these people bad. We're not going to be angry with them. We're not going to hold them to standards we can't hold up, live under, fulfill. You know. "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and brings every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Wow. Man. This is better than a coach. We've been given this authority, this power, this spiritual understanding of what our warfare really is. The way we win this game is applying the warfare. Before we ever say hello, before we say boo, before we say stop that, it's gross, before we say anything offensive or encouraging, we start with our warfare. Lord, there's someone at work that's just making me crazy. Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I ask that you would come and begin to woo his heart. That you would come and minister to this guy. That you would come and rescue him from the avenue he's on, Lord. That you would come like you did for me. Come to him because he's like me. He's got that struggle like I had. And he's dead like I was dead. And there's only one way he's going to find out how to become alive. And that's by you ministering. So Lord, I invite you to come. I'm not going to be offended with him. And I'm not going to be upset if he's offended with me. I'm going to live in my freedom, and I'm going to let my freedom challenge him. I'm going to let my freedom be something he looks at and sees as something that glorifies you. I'm going to let my freedom honor you and challenge him. Lord, let's start with the warfare. Let's start with the warfare. I'm at peace with me. And I'm ready to do business. I'm ready to fulfill what you've called me to fulfill. I'm ready to step into the stuff you've already prepared. You already prepared beforehand. You already prepared it. All I got to do is show up and be me. How easy could that be? I need a partner, though. I need a coach. I need to know when the whistle's blowing. I need to know how to navigate. I need to know what to say when. So, guys, I think what I'd like to do to close is ask us all to just stand together, and let's invite the Holy Spirit. Let's invite the coach to revive us, to revive our opinion of ourselves, to revive our fascination with Jesus Christ, to revive us individually with a new desire to love and be loved. Lord, right now we just are inviting the Holy Spirit. We're inviting our coach, our helper, to come right now to where we are individually, Lord. We pick on ourselves because we compare ourselves to one another, Lord, and that's not how you want us to do it. So, Lord, we just right now forgive ourselves for not being somebody else and invite you to fill us with the confidence to be the real us. Lord, in Jesus' name, we just ask that you would break off all fear, that you would break off self-hatred, Lord, that you would break off every trick the enemy's tried to use to keep us tied to our past, that you would come by your love and your tender mercies and your compassion for us individually and break off those things that keep us from being okay with us. In Jesus' name, Lord, we invite your power. We invite the authority. We invite the work of the Spirit, Lord, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, Lord, but they're mighty. Lord, that you would revive our understanding of what it is, this Holy Spirit, this coach we have, that he's everywhere. He's everywhere and he's working. He's working in people we like and he's working in people we don't like. He's working in people we don't want to associate with. He's working just like us. They're just like us. And Lord, we invite you to give us a fresh compassion, a fresh mercy for one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Take somebody's hand there. Would you do that? Just we affirm this. Lord, I thank you for, as Pastor Ray brought, an authentic guy here. We want to thank you for the authenticity of each person, the treasure that each person is. We affirm that because that's what you said. You said we're your workmanship and you don't make junk. And so we appreciate the beauty of causing us to be, ideally, all that you want us to be. Free. I thank you, Lord, for this point. The freedom. Where the presence of the Lord is, there's a spirit of freedom and liberty. And I thank you, Lord, you've helped us walk into greater dimensions of freedom. Being with you. And now, Lord, it is a season. The world's changed. And each of us have a greater need now. And as we just prayed, we cast down fear. We truly do. We cast down fear, take a big breath and say, Lord, we're going to walk with you in these days and allow you to be live through us the way you desire. Praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, even now you offload things of trouble from our hearts. We just give them to you, everything. Everything that would be a distraction or a struggle, we say we place it in your hands. Hallelujah. And look up at me just real quick here. The Bible says that the gates, Jesus said this, that the gates of hell will not prevail. Now, this is kind of peculiar language. It says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Now, if you were with Patton, General Patton, you wouldn't be, he was a great coach.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be saying, okay, guys, let's go get the gates. We're going to go. No, he got tanks. Gates are defensive. Gates are not offensive. So who's on the offensive? The church.
Yes.
Who's on the defensive?
Yes.
The adversary.
Yes.
And you were behind the gate, and somebody prayed through the gate and got you. Right? And the gates can't prevail. They can't prevail. They can't prevail. And there are people just right behind the gate. And the love that's in you, when you get there, there's something about the power of the love that the gates go, I can't handle it, and this opens up. That's right. So the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.